So hi, my name's Amanda, and I have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from insecurity and finding my value in performance and in people. I spent 22 years in the bondage of insecurity, not realizing that so much of what I did came from a need for approval. Whatever I found to satisfy that hunger for security was always fleeting and soon left me empty and begging again. From a young age, I constantly felt like I wasn't good enough. No matter what success I attained, it was always outweighed by this failure I felt deep inside. My parents loved me immensely, but growing up, my home was volatile. Family members struggled with drugs, depression, anger, and I had no idea what a stable home looked like. Siblings in and out of jail, rehab, and dealings with the police were normal to me. This instability developed in me a doubt of who I was and how I measured up to others. I first accepted Christ when I was very young. I knew that he was who he said he was, the perfect Son of God, and that he had died for my sins and come back to life. I remember accepting his forgiveness and knowing I am his child. I had this deep-rooted trust in his salvation, but I didn't understand that God wanted a relationship with me through Jesus until later in life. I believed in Christ, but I wasn't following him yet. In fact, I sought out my identity in anything other than Christ. I wasn't popular or pretty, and to make it worse, I was painfully shy. So I found my worth in what I was good at, ballet and school. But the second I didn't feel skinny enough in ballet or smart enough in school, the fulfillment wavered yet again, and I was still left unable to measure up. My insecurities erupted in middle school, where I developed bulimia, and by high school, I was cutting myself. All my friends and I looked for life in partying. We drank. We did unhealthy things. Then I started growing into my looks, and guys started noticing me. After so many years of not getting approval from guys, I finally had it, and that approval became my world. I got into some compromising situations that left me feeling hurt and used. Eventually, I got to the point where I couldn't stop. In the process of trying to become this person that everyone approved of, I had become so out of control that I didn't know what to do. I couldn't stop making myself throw up. I couldn't stop partying. I couldn't stop cutting. I was consumed with what others thought of me, and I was too afraid to tell anyone my dark secrets. I was desperate to have it taken from my life, and I knew I couldn't get rid of it on my own. Finally, during my first year of college, I began pleading to God for help. Out of his immense love for me, God heard my cries. In Matthew, God beckons us saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God's yoke or provision came in the form of illness, mono, that forced me into rest for 6 months. I couldn't dance or party. I barely saw my friends. I lost the lead role in ballet. All I could do was sleep and go to school. It was during this time that I began reading my Bible for the first time. I started praying, having conversations with God. I began handing my life over to the Lord and pursuing a relationship with him. In this time, God healed me from bulimia and cutting. When I was sick, I basically had to remove myself from that unhealthy group of friends and thus from the party lifestyle. Although I was never really able to go back to ballet, and I couldn't watch a ballet performance without crying for a good year after that, God turned my heart away from ballet as my identity and towards him. I met my first boyfriend about six months after recovering from mono. I had recently transferred to a new university, and things were looking up. But Satan is swift, and without a community of believers around me, my wonderful but infant relationship with God was vulnerable to attack. I found my identity in God for a while, but I didn't have the knowledge or tools to maintain it. So my boyfriend quickly became my new source of value and identity. I idolized him. I had finally found my long-sought-after approval in a great Christian guy. He introduced me to The Porch, Watermark's young adult ministry. And about 1 year later, we got engaged on Christmas morning. Our relationship looked great on the outside. But behind closed doors, it was full of idolatry, impurity, and codependency. And less than 2 months after he proposed to me, he cheated on me. My insecurity erupted yet again. I no longer had my source of approval. With our relationship falling apart, we decided to try to work through it by attending Watermark's premarital class merge. 4 weeks in, my fiance left me. It was the most pain I had ever experienced. Because I had made him my God, when he failed me, my world fell apart. There's only one being who can completely satisfy, and that's Jesus Christ. My value had been tied up in a person full of sin and imperfection, and now I was left in despair, worthless and unlovable. That's what led me into recovery. I had nothing left to distract me. I left everything behind, even my apartment. I moved in with my sister and brother-in-law for a few months, who are now strong believers. This was my first taste of true community and the beginning of the most painful but the most beautiful time in my life. I had been to Regen once right before the breakup. I came in, I didn't say anything, I cried, and I hadn't been back since. This time was different because what distracted me most from God was now gone. Idols blind us to truth. My love for my idol blinded me from the love God was offering me freely. I was also terrified. I saw my engagement as a huge failure. And as someone who seeks approval from others, I didn't want anyone to know. But after a few weeks of hearing other women's honesty about their struggles, I finally broke down and told people what happened. I'll forever remember how at the end of that group, a special lady approached me. And she said to me, "Sometimes God takes people out of our lives to protect us." I realized that she was right, and that God was protecting me from a lifetime of pain with a person who is not his best for me. God had placed that woman in my life to speak truth to me and love me, and we ended up being in a small group together. The first few steps of Regen helped me begin to understand how much my Heavenly Father loves me, and it struck me how faithful he is. After all I had put before him, he still wanted a relationship with me. In Isaiah 1:18, God beckons us saying, "Come now, let's settle the matter. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." God has kept his word, and I have seen countless areas of my life, sins and idols that I chose over my loving Father, go from stained red to white. In closed group, I was surrounded by some of the most beautiful, God-fearing women I have ever met. They struggled right along with me. Week after week, we continue to learn how to turn over these struggles to the Lord. We shared with one another, cried with one another, and leaned on one another. Their vulnerability helped me to become vulnerable. I will never forget these women. God used them to change my life, and I couldn't be more grateful, and I wouldn't have chosen anyone different. I joined a community group where I met my group's leader. She had such strength and identity in Christ. I can't explain the power of having another believer around to walk through life with you. She held me accountable. She strengthened me, shared biblical truth with me, and even just sat and suffered with me when times were tough. Between the guidance of the women in my Regen closed group and my community group leader, God was changing my heart. He began opening my eyes to my value in him. Very slowly, I started to grasp that my value wasn't dictated by anyone else. Inventory was terrifying. I was so afraid of reliving painful memories that I couldn't even write down certain names. I actually wrote X instead of my ex's name. I procrastinated. I did the easier ones. Up until then, I had opened up about what happened, but I hadn't dealt with it. Instead of saying, "This happened to me, but God has taken it, used it for his good. I was stuck at, this happened to me. I eventually did write down the hard things. I even wrote about the girl that my ex cheated on me with, and that name was harder than his. As I wrote them down, in a sense, I relived those memories, but God delivered me through the process. I can't explain the peace I had after addressing those memories, like a weight lifted. The more painful the memory and more difficult it was to write down, the more peace I had afterward. Sharing my inventory was also terrifying. The fear of disappointment, disapproval, rejection, all welled up inside of me. And my mentor was my sister, so there was even more to lose. But she exhibited Christ's love to me through it, and it was one of the most healing experiences I had in Regen. My ex started pursuing me again while in Regen. Everyone warned me it was a bad idea, but I didn't listen. We started dating again, and the old unhealthy cycle started once again, full of codependency and impure relations. So here's my warning. When the leaders here suggest not to get into a dating relationship while in Regen, listen. They are saying it out of love and to protect you, not to hold you back from experiencing joy. When God is first in our lives and we are abiding in him, that is when our joy is made complete. Despite my choosing my idol yet again, God used that time to grow me, and he helped me clearly see how unhealthy our relationship was. A few months later, I was able to walk away from the relationship. I never would have left him before, even with how he had treated me. This time was completely different. The hurts were not anywhere near as deep as the first time, but I knew it was not God's best for me. I finally put my trust in Christ, and he gave me the strength to walk away. It was sweet, sweet victory. After that, I decided to put God first by committing to be single for a year. The first breakup was right before I started Regen. The second was right at the end of Regen, exactly 1 year later. I thought I had totally screwed up, and that by the end of Regen, I was supposed to have my stuff together, which I obviously didn't. So I decided to go back through. I began attending Groundwork again, and that's where I realized that God had changed me. My time in recovery hadn't been a failure. God had worked in my life, and I had something to offer those women. I could love them through their struggles because I've been there. A few months later, God showed me 1 Timothy 4:12. Do not let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And with the direction of those tender words, I began leading a group. Today, my identity in Christ is the strongest it's ever been. My relationship with God is not perfect, but it is more consistent and mature. Before, it was emotions-based. Either I felt the high and love for the Lord, or I was doing something wrong. I could go through a great All About Jesus month and then 2 months of nothing. I learned that a relationship is not based on emotions. There are emotions which are wonderful and a gift from God, but just not based on them. I rely on him so much more, turn to him sooner, if not immediately, for everything in life, whether it's joy or sadness. His faithfulness, the Lord's faithfulness, keeps me running back to him. I value it immensely. Obviously, there are many beautiful aspects to his character, but his faithfulness hits home. On the 2-year anniversary of when my ex proposed, it's easy to remember because it was Christmas morning. It was a rough day. I remember just disappearing into the bathroom at my parents' house, and I just started crying. I cried and I questioned why someone who said they loved me could abandon and give up on me. That's when God showed me this, that Christ did not simply kneel on one knee and propose to me. His love is so unfathomable that he spread out his arms and he died on the cross for me. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I have never since then questioned if I was valuable enough for someone to stay committed to me, because there is one who already sees my value and is already committed. You see, God didn't just commit to us by kneeling and asking, "Will you marry me?" He already promised and sacrificed by his death on the cross and resurrection. All you have to do is accept that he did that for you. So when I say I value his faithfulness, that's what I mean. True, sacrificial, unwavering faithfulness. It wasn't until going through Regen as a leader that I realized how much I struggle with seeking approval. So it is still a work in progress, but I definitely seek approval from others less, and I don't fear disappointing others like I used to. The insecurity isn't totally gone, but it doesn't weigh me down anymore. I was afraid when I first began my year of singleness that I would miss out on someone great and be single for the rest of my life. After completing it, I can say if I were single for the rest of my life, I would be okay, because I'm not wanting. My needs are fulfilled by the Lord. I don't need people like I used to. When I was in a place of insecurity, that was a terrible place to be. So insecure that I would stay in a relationship no matter what that person did to me. Not having a reliance on a man to fulfill my value and identity is freeing. I don't know what life would be like without community now. That wouldn't be life. They bring me out of my comfort zone, help expose my sins and my flaws, and build me up in Christ. As much as I hate others seeing my flaws, I'm drawn to that authenticity because I have experienced Christ's love and mercy in it. The more sin I admit to and expose in my life, the more Christ redeems. I know it helps others to feel the freedom to confess as well. All this is not to say I've arrived or that I no longer struggle. I am still broken and live in a broken world. My struggle with controlling food can still be a source of shame in my life, and that fear of disapproval is definitely still there. But God is working on my heart, and I am beginning to understand the freedom that I have from the bondage of my sin when I rely on Christ's strength instead of my own, and when I remember how much he loves me. I long to see constant growth in my life. So each year I look back and ask, am I the same person I was a year ago? Since completing my first year of Regen, then my second, and now my third, I have been able to continually look back and say with confidence that I'm not the same person I was last year, that God continues to grow me so much that I don't recognize my year ago self. How cool is that, to see God's continual redemption and change in your life? If this is your first night at Regen, I am so excited that you're here. Remember that image I shared of God's faithfulness? This is part of it. He's brought you here because he loves you. He's committed to you, and he wants to produce amazing things in your life too. Whether you're coming out of a bad breakup, some serious hurt, feelings of failure, or maybe you don't even know why you're here, no matter where you are in life, he has you right here for a purpose and is pursuing you whether you know it or not. So don't give up. He's not giving up on you. And I can't wait to see what the Lord produces in you. Thanks.